The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, the merciful Prophet, that there are four forms of worship, four acts of worship, that if any individual implements these four acts of worship, ibadat, they're not difficult, they're very easy, and three of those, three out of the four acts of worship are related to, or you can say are biased towards, societal, social intercourse, walking, talking, meeting, etc., out in the open in society amongst people. Those three, the first three acts of worship are biased or linked to that. Yes, life with society and in the environment. And the fourth one is linked to the individual spiritual enhancement, to the prayer mat, you could say. So the first three acts of worship we don't even consider as worship. That living in society, amongst people, amongst communities, we don't think that there are acts that we can carry out and implement that are worship. And these are very great acts of worship and gain great reward, massive reward. So the first three acts have a link with society, communities, living in public. And the fourth one has a different link. So the first one has a link with communities. The second one has a link with the mu'ashara, society. The third one has the link with the community, society. And the fourth one is linked to our personal ibadah, personal worship. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that whoever implements these four acts of worship, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ, that he can with peace and happiness enter into paradise. Tell me, how great is this? So easy, simple a path. The first act of worship. Everyday life, we can do this. It is a link with our everyday, rather every second of life. But we don't give no emphasis to this act, this action. And how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained this to us and put a reward tag on it. A reward label. And this is a very common form of worship or action. Ishfu salam. Salam. Spread salam. Say salam. Promote salam. Yes? Communicate with salam. You don't need wudu for this. You don't have to have ablution for this. You can walking up and down, sitting, going, meeting your relatives, your friends, your contacts. You go home, you meet family, walking, talking, everywhere. Just one thing we have to do to promote salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You go to the masjid, there are many people we meet. We leave the masjid, we meet many people. When leaving the masjid, we don't have to think, do I know this person? Do I know this person? Or I don't know this person? Or do I have links with him from before? Or I don't have any links with this person? Or shall I make a link with this person and say salam? No. Rather, the intention is, the best way is that whoever you've got an argument with, friction, there's some coolness between the two, say salam to that person. What an azim, great act of worship. Every day we have this opportunity. All during the day we have an opportunity to do this. And the virtues of this action, there's not enough time for us to discuss. There are so many fadail of this action. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his statement for us is enough. We don't need to know the virtues. And we know that with peace and ease we can attain Jannah. And what more do we need than this as a reward? So from today we must make a solid promise and habit to do this. Our habit is that we don't say salam to people. We don't say something to anyone. We don't speak to them. We'll say other things, but we won't say salam. Somebody's coming, somebody's going, somebody's coming to the masjid. And it's not that we know them. We know that those people, we don't have no problems with them, no quarrel. We have no problem, but the shaitan has trapped us such that we don't even let salam come out of our mouth. Many people have seen, there's a habit, they walk past you, they'll quickly smile at you, a quick smirk, quick smile, but they won't say from their mouth, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, going into the masjid, keep saying it, even if he doesn't reply. And we feel ashamed if I say salam to this person, will he answer to me? Is he displeased with me? We have no link with what the other person's thinking or his status. We are linked to our thawab reward. Am I benefiting myself with this action? But I'm benefiting myself, alhamdulillah. So if we were to know the benefit, subhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah is being fulfilled. So from today, make a solid pact with yourself that wherever you are, ishfu salam, spread peace and salam. You don't have to shake the hand. I have to shake the hand. No, there's no need for this. Salam. Salam. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Meeting somebody. Assalamu alaikum. Say salam to each other. Salam. spread salam. And how many people will you say salam to? But very, very few people we come and go all during the day. How many people have we said salam to? We've come to the masjid now to do tazkiyah, to clean our hearts. So what a big action we're wasting. And such an easy ibadah, such an easy ibadah, act of worship that we can do all day long, every moment. If we're entering home and we say assalamu alaikum, Allahu Akbar, then the fadail, the virtues of this are immense. They're immense. So let's stop this topic now, otherwise we could continue for so long. So the second act of worship, easy, easy action, and linked to society, community, cohesion, peace and love, is to maintain and enhance the ties of peace and love with people, relatives, friends, contacts, acquaintances, with everybody. That keep a relationship with them. Go and meet someone on a weekly basis with a relation, say salam, dua. And here, after hearing this hadith, we don't think that, will he let me come in, or is he unhappy with me, or I disrespected him, or he disrespected me many years ago, he did this against us. Then you're going to waste the enjoyment of this worship. This is what our beloved master, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wants to remove the dirts and impurities from our hearts. He wants to clean our hearts. So we should make a program. This person is my relative. I'll go this week and say salam to him. 5 minutes I'll spend here with ibadah intention. Because this is ibadah, worship. And this is such an ibadah that when you go to visit them, you'll get tea, samosas, water, and you'll eat and drink there and meet them and enjoy. And if you go at the time of dinner or lunch, you'll get lunch and dinner as well. So make this a habit. Allah Ta'ala has given us many relatives. So many relations are built and formed. Sometime the next day a person's an uncle or an auntie or a niece. A child is born, hundreds of relations, thousands of relations are formed. A person becomes a mamuji, a chachaji, an uncle from this side, an uncle from that side, an auntie from this side. The child has just been born and so many relations are built and formed. The grandmother, the grandfather, the grandson, the granddaughter, the niece, the nephew. So many relations are formed. This is Allah's rahmah, mercy. Allah's given us an opportunity. Go and worship. Meet people. This is worship. Meet people with love, with the intention I'm going to maintain and enhance and increase and strengthen the ties with the people. The third act of worship is very great, very close to our habits and manners and attributes. Look how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has distributed to us ibadat that are linked to our habits and traits. And what is this? To feed people. Ah, subhanAllah, glory be to Allah. What a beautiful, beautiful statement. That when we feed people, then obviously we're going to eat good ourselves, aren't we? Or aren't we? So inshallah, every moment, every day, we can have good food. And I remember a hadith now, that everything we have to account for. Everything we'll have to answer for. Water I drink, I'll have to answer for it. The date I eat, the dates I've eaten, I have to answer for it. These are gifts of Allah, truths of Allah. These dates I've eaten, or date, it won't go to waste. I have to answer for it. That, for example, Allah says, I fed you this date. How much did you remember me? Or did you just burp after eating and sat down? No, this is the hisab. Allah will ask us for everything. Allah says, I gave you an egg, and you ate egg. After that, did you remember me? Did you do my dhikr? Were you grateful for me? That you fill your plate with food. But doesn't mean that who gave us the food, that at least we should remember Allah. At least we should remember Allah. Turn to Him. Think about Him. This is what it should be about. That whatever we get in the world, we're grateful to whoever gives to us. Why don't we give great gratitude to Allah? So this is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And they said, how will we give hisab for the food, Ya Rasulullah s.a.w.? And what was their food? After weeks, maybe bread and water. Maybe. With difficulty. Brothers, we have to account for this. But I'll tell you a unique, beautiful point here with regards to eating. And I'm coming to the other point. Otherwise, we'll extend this topic as well about eating and drinking. So if you feed somebody to maintain the ties, enhance the relationships, feed people. Increase the love amongst people. SubhanAllah. So your heart will open up. Your heart will open, you'll give da'wah to people, invite people, you tell them to sit down and partake of the meal with you. So I want to grab this word here. There's a point that emanates from here, is that for every action and second of our life, we will have to answer for what Allah Ta'ala gave to us. But when a guest is invited and you invite a guest and you sit down with them and eat with them, those moments that pass, those minutes or hours, nothing will have to be answered for. You can eat as much as you want, fill your stomach, lean and eat to your fill, but no answering of that time. Where did this come from? What did you eat? You didn't remember Allah, whatever. Allah Ta'ala says that feeding my guest is enough for you, that I forgive you for that act of worship. SubhanAllah. So this is also ibadah, worship. about feeding people, I like this as well, so we should start this quickly and bring it into our life, this habit, that a guest comes, a friend comes, people you know, or you feed the poor people, give sadaqah, charity. Now Ramadan is coming, the blessed month of Ramadan is coming, we have everything, but think back from where you came from, our countries, our nations, people who don't have nothing, no means, no resources, we break our fast, iftar so easily, they don't have anything. Look at their condition, their state, it's hard for them to get fresh, clean water. Fresh, clean water. So let's plan from now that this village, in this locality, in our home country, and tie the knot on your decision that these five villages, in the evening I'm going to send the iftar. It's not difficult. Alhamdulillah. 100, 150 pounds you'll spend. Put it to the side that this is our village, and in your village, your city, and there's somebody there who's poor or needy and difficulty. So you can give a job to somebody in that town, village. Assign somebody the task that in the evening, cook a pot of rice, a cauldron of rice. People will, from that area will realize that rice is being cooked, and iftar time they'll come and you can feed them. What a great system. Great process. Should we do this or not? We should do it. Very easy. So all of you start this. Look that the people who are in need in your localities where you can distribute food to them. Every day cook a cauldron, a pot of rice. You'll get the reward for cooking, for serving. You'll get the reward. And you'll get one and you'll get two or three. They, the people who are doing it, will get one reward, but you'll get two or three. But if we should spend money, Allah Ta'ala, mashallah, selects his servants to do this every day in the evening at iftar time. We're going to make a pot, a cauldron of rice so people can eat and benefit. So that's it. So these are the three ibadat. What was the first one? Salam, not difficult. Spread salam, ishfu salam. Second, sulah rahmi, to maintain the ties of kinship, of relations, and in improving and creating nice relationships. And third one is to feed people. A guest or a friend or a contact, invite them for a meal or feed the poor. If you make this a habit every day, there's somebody, I'm going to give him water or tea, no difference is made. So this becomes ibadah, worship. So these are three ibadah. And one ibadah, one form of worship, is the prayer mat. The prayer mat. It's not farad. It's not a farad ibadah, I'm going to mention, the fourth one. It's not compulsory. But at the time of qiraat, at the time of seclusion, in the latter part of the night, preferably when everyone's sleeping and it's still silent night, this is the condition. Should be night, should be seclusion. And when everybody's sleeping, Allah Ta'ala says, then betray your bed at that time and prostrate to Allah. It's enjoying just saying this. Night time. And it's silent, still night, leave the bed, do wudu, come to the prayer mat. SubhanAllah, what enjoyment. And there's sleepiness in the eye, there's tiredness, so you do wudu. When you stand on the prayer mat and start Surah Yaseen, Surah Rahman, Surah Al-Muzammil, you don't do nothing else, you're reciting. And you start with Surah Ikhlas in the Salah. Surah Ikhlas, and a beautiful feeling, emotion will overwhelm that person. And those people who have this in their destiny, then they should cry from their hearts that Allah Ta'ala, you've given us these acts of worship, your karam, your mercy. Otherwise, where are we? Where are these things? So this is not hard. This is not hard, my friends. Alhamdulillah, 3 or 4 days, try, get up, make the habit. And now Ramadan is coming, you have to get up. So start practicing from today. Start practicing from today. That this hadith that has reached to us, there's a big reward for this. And we are doing the first three easily. Salam and relationships and feeding people. But the fourth one, let's make it for ourselves. Put the prayer mat out. Get up in the middle of the night. And it's seclusion. It's you alone and you're facing your Rabb, your Lord. And you pray salah 2 rakah, 4 rakah. And you prostrate to Allah. And another hadith comes to mind, a beautiful hadith. That when a person, a man, gets up in the night to pray to his Rabb, his Lord, he's at home, he wakes up. And he also ushers to his wife that, wake up, let's get up, let's pray, you pray as well. It's time for tahajjud, you pray 2 rakah as well. Like we try to share everything, isn't it? We should share our ibadah as well and assist, encourage other. And obviously the woman, her nafs sometimes is a bit big and it's an obstacle. She works hard during that day, children, etc. at home. It's difficult for her to get up. The man, he's a bit fresh. He comes from work, he sleeps, he rests. And then she says, okay, I'm getting up, I'm a bit tired. Then that man, this is the sketch in the hadith. The man, he gets up. And he says to his wife, come on, wake up, let's pray tahajjud, this tahajjud time, let's pray 2 rakah. He makes her understand. And then after getting up, he goes, he does wudu. And after doing wudu, he's refreshed. Then in a vessel or a bowl, he puts some water. He brings the water. His wife hasn't got up, woken up. So he sprinkles the water specks into her face. And then she gets alert. And his wife, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives this guidance. Alhamdulillah. Then she tosses and turns. And then she says, okay, I'll get up. Then the man goes to his prayer mat. And the wife gets up. And she goes to do wudu. She refreshes herself. She comes back to the other side of the mat, the prayer mat, to the whatever mat they use. And this is the reward. Allah Ta'ala says, I see both of them in this condition praying to me. Allah Ta'ala smiles. laughs. Aha, Allah Ta'ala laughs. Allah is so happy according to His rank and glory and status. Imagine when the Rabb is laughing and smiling with happiness. And what are the rewards those people are attaining? The husband and the wife at that time. Great action. Those who have got married, start this action from today. But don't argue with each other. Don't pour the vessel of water onto a face. It shouldn't be cold. Be careful that you are fulfilling the sunnah with gentleness and nicely. And this is a portion of the hadith that I've told you extra. That the actual hadith is the man who gets up in the night and he prostrates to Allah in isolation, seclusion. These are the four things. Yeah. So number one, ishfu salam, to promote salam, to spread salam. Number two, to maintain and create the ties of friendship. Third is to feed the people, guests or poor people. And fourth, to wake up in the night to prostrate to our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever does this, yadkhulu al-jannata bis-salam, that with salamity, with peace and ease and happiness, enter into paradise. And another part to this that is so great and fantastic, I'd like to mention, it doesn't just say here, yadkhulu al-jannah. Yeah? It doesn't just say enter into paradise. Yes, you will. But what are the words here? يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. Pay attention to the words بِالسَّلَامِ. بِالسَّلَامِ is telling us that, listen, insan comes to this world and he comes via a process, isn't it? A few difficulties, it's 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and after 6 weeks, and he's kicking his legs and he's in the womb of the mother, and after some time, after 9 months, he pesters his mother, and then he comes into the world with the preparations and the hospital, this difficulty, and the woman, she has to go maternity ward, and it's difficult, it's tiring, exhausting. The child comes with difficulty, doesn't he? He gives a lot of trouble. And when we depart, we leave with trouble and difficulty. So when we come with troubles and difficulties into the world, and when we depart from the world, we leave with difficulties and problems. It's the time of death and pain. A person's ill, in difficulty, and he is fighting off shaitan who trying to take his iman. It's his final moments and days and seconds, and his amala in front of him, and it's a trial, a test, a challenge. And then the next phase after death, when a person's woken up in the qabr, so before that he is bathed, ghusl, and then the grave is dug and the person's lowered into the grave, and then the soil is thrown onto him during his janazah. Then there's a new life of waiting in the grave. Every dead person who's passed away, deceased, is waiting, and it's a painful wait. What is the wait? According to the deeds, a person is waiting. Obviously there is a wait physically. If you start waiting for a bus, for example, it's so not easy. You have to wait. You're waiting. When's it coming? So what are the people of the grave waiting for? The people who have died, it's a ajeeb, unique wait. And it's the waiting for the blowing of the trumpet. That when is the day of judgment going to be called for? It's coming. They're waiting, the people of the grave, and they're waiting that when the trumpet will be blown eventually, then will come the day of judgment. Then they'll be waiting there. Another painful, long wait. And severe. Then the bridge of Sirat is harder, severe, and all of the challenges and phases of the challenges and the tests. يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِالسَّلَامَةِ. That all of the challenges and the phases that will come in front of us to reach to paradise will all become easy. All will become easy. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ. Everyone will go into Jannah. Eventually every mu'min and believer with the fadl of Allah who pray salah, read Quran. But we have to pass through the tests. And the phases will have to cross these tests and lines. But if we do these four acts of worship, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us. If we do these four, we say salam, we spread salam, we're not scared of giving salam, old, young, youthful, and you break your desires and say salam to everyone. You break your ego, and you maintain ties of friendship with everyone. You don't say, oh, did he help me? Did he assist me? Did he influence me? No. He's our uncle, he's my dada, my grandfather, my grandson. They made a mistake, no problem, I forgive. And you go and meet them every week, every 2 weeks, subhanallah. And third, mashallah, very easy. Feed people, eat yourself and feed people. Subhanallah, Allah will give more rizq. And fourth, is in the night to wake up, and such an enjoyment that you feel so good that you don't feel like sleeping after that. And Allah Ta'ala gives due to that. And it's stated these four ibadat, whoever done this, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِالسَّلَامِ. That you will go through all of the phases of the hereafter with these. Death won't be hard, nor will the grave be hard, nor will the day of judgment be hard, nor will the blowing of the trumpet be hard, nor will adhab be hard, nor will the bridge of sirat be hard, nor will the scales of justice be hard. Everything will become easy and you will go into Jannah with ease. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq, ameen. And may we be able to do amal and practice upon this. Ameen.